Hello. Hey, good morning. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 22. Okay, 2 Kings 22. Now, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. And he did right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of his father, David, nor did he turn aside to the right or to the left. Now it came about in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may count the money brought in to the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people. And let them deliver it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the workmen who are in the house of the Lord to repair the damages of the house. To the carpenters and the builders and the masons, and for buying timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Only no accounting should be made with them for the money delivered into their hands, for they deal faithfully." Then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, who read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought back word to the king and said, "Your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and had delivered into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord." Moreover, Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read it in the presence of the king. And it came about when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, Achbor, the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Isaiah, the king's servant, saying, "Go inquire of the Lord for me and the people in all Judah concerning the words of this book, and has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us, because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us." So Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Isaiah went to Hilda the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke to her. And she said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I bring evil on this place and on its inhabitants, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath burns against this place, and it shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus you shall say to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, regarding the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I truly have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. Neither shall your eyes see all the evil which I bring on this place." They brought back word to the king. Amen. So, if you remember it from yesterday, the kings in Judah before, so you had a really good king that had a bad last 15 years of his reign, which is Hezekiah. Hezekiah succeeded by Manasseh, and then Amnon, and then Josiah succeeds Amnon. Remember, Amnon's rule was only 2 years old because his own men actually killed him because he was not a very good king. And so Josiah, thankfully, even though he was only 8 years old when he took the kingdom, he was a very good king. And he begins to restore a lot of these things that are going on in Judah that was lost actually towards the end of the reign of Hezekiah in this way. And so he says he does right in the sight of the Lord. He was a good king. And so you'll see a few things that he does right. The first thing he does is he rebuilds the temple. And so this is, goes back. Remember, the last really good king before Hezekiah was Joash. And remember, Joash set aside to restore the temple. And the temple to these guys, and which gives us an idea, if it goes into such disarray, it means something really bad is happening, because a temple is where they came to sacrifice to the God of Israel. And so this was your peace offering. This was the scapegoat This was where the glory of God dwelt, and when they came, the high priest came in into the Holy of Holies. This was meant to be their, I don't want to say religious duty, but it was really their faith at work. And so you have all these years where the temple is in disarray and is being broken down and torn down and all these things. And so Josiah says, man, the people of God should reconnect with the presence of God. And so he rebuilds a temple, and you can see kind of the same idea about the money being given over to the workers, almost word for word, exactly what happens in the reign of Joash. So we just think, see this happening. So the temple is being restored, and then in the midst of that, now you see exactly why the other kings begin to do evil in the sight of the Lord, and they misplace the book. These would be the scrolls. This would be the law of Moses. And they lost it. I mean, can you imagine losing what basically is not only your constitution, but it's your moral law. It's the basis of your oral law. It's your civil, the way you handle society. All these things. That's what the Mosaic law was. And that was lost. And so you're talking about a few generations, and it could be that Manasseh or even Amon maybe hid the book or put it away or something, but it was not there in the reading. And this would be a proper Sabbath for them to read from the scroll. So I mean, trying to figure out, what did these guys do in these generations? So they find the book. Hilkiah finds the book as they're going in. So it sounds like not much has been going on in the temple for all these years. They find the book. He brings it to the scribe. Shaphan is a scribe. He's the recorder of all things. And so he begins to read, and most scholars believe, and it's not just that he's just reading the book, the law, but he particularly reads Deuteronomy 28, 29, and 30. And if you go back to Deuteronomy 28, 29, 30 is the covenant being restored. And it's, remember the words at Mount Gerizim. And they set aside two groups of people and said, you know, if you want to follow the Lord, you go this way. If you don't want to follow the Lord, this is what's going to happen. And then remember, they signed covenant in Moab. And then later on, the law is given. Moses gives them the sermon by which he says, you can either choose life or you could choose death. You follow the Lord and you choose life. If you don't follow the Lord, you choose death. And this is what's going to happen. And so Josiah hears 28, 29, and 30, and he's like, oh, he is just, I mean, convicted. So much so that he tears his clothes. Remember, the tearing of the clothes was a sign of humility. It was also a sign of shame. It was a sign of repentance, of remorse. It was also a sign of mourning. I mean, this is all those things wrapped up in this. So he tears his clothes and he says, oh my goodness, we're doomed. Because he knows what his father Amon, what his grandfather Manasseh, and his great-grandfather towards the end of his life, Hezekiah, has done. And he realizes, oh my goodness, this is over. We are done with. There's no hope for us. And so he stirs up some hope, and he goes, let's go and talk to inquire of the Lord. And when they did that, they usually went to the prophet. And in this particular case, they went to Huldah, was a prophetess. Now, she was an incredible, incredible woman of God. I mean, to give you an idea, in Jerusalem, the kings are buried there, but there's two other people that are buried there. You know who they are? Huldah. And also, if you remember, Jehoiada actually was the high priest that instructed Joash and then other kings after him. And he caused Judah to be faithful during that time. So it was an incredible high priest. And then you have Huldah, and only those two guys outside of the kings and the royal family are actually buried in Jerusalem, to give an idea of how important and how respected and revered these two people were besides the royal family. And so she goes before the Lord. They say, hey, is this really going to happen? And she basically says, yes, it's really going to happen. And obviously what she's talking about is a Babylonian captivity that will get to in a little bit. And that's basically where a lot of the minor prophets, you know, obviously Daniel is speaking out of that context. And we'll see a lot of these things take place during that particular captivity. But she says, but everything is going to happen, but because, look at 19, because your heart was tender, you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, they shall become a desolation and a curse, and you have torn your clothes and went before me. I truly have heard you, declares the Lord. And so we see that when it comes to the workings of God, even though you deserve death, even though you deserve desolation and curse, remember, and God didn't put this on them, men chose. The nation of Israel chose, the kings chose this path, and they chose death. And because now you've humbled yourself, I've heard you. I'm going to move on your behalf in your generation. And so there's something to be said about humility, about repentance. Maybe there is calamity coming our way in our family, or even in our church, or in so many different ways. But because you've humbled yourself, and the idea meaning that you've taken responsibility. Notice Josiah didn't say, hey, Lord, actually, that wasn't me. That was my dad, and that was my grandfather. I'm not responsible for this, so you should not hold the nation responsible for this. He didn't say that. He said, oh, my goodness, we are basically jacked up. And so he takes responsibility because he's part of this nation. He's a part of these decisions that came down. But he humbles himself before the Lord. And the Lord has mercy on Josiah and his generation. The Israelites still go into captivity. But we can see, I mean, to be quite honest, as you read over the captivity of the Israelites, it actually ends up being a positive thing in the end. We'll get into that much later when we get into all these things. And Josiah, he does a lot of good things during this time. He makes a new covenant. I'm going to read next week that he actually restores Passover and a lot of these good things that happen. And so let's go back a little bit. I went through the summary. So why did these kings, why did they lose sight of God? How could in such a swift time, we talked about that yesterday a bit, such a swift time, how can they totally miss out on what God is doing, and how can they rebel so much against the Lord? Well, you know, one of the easiest ways that happens, you forget about the book. It's so simple. You forget about the book. The moment that we take our eyes, and it's so easy in our life, isn't it? The moment we take our eyes off the scriptures and we begin to live according to the world, man, all kind of calamity is going to happen our way. And this goes into so many things. You know, brothers and sisters, I can't tell you how many times that, you know, I'm counseling people, you know, at church, and I mean, we're just talking about simple things, which would be, I would think, quite simple biblical things. And sure enough, they don't live by the word, and as a result, their life is in total disarray. I mean, even simple things like how to handle our finances, right? I mean, God says, you know, very simply, look, you are stewards of, in other words, this is all mine. You are just mere stewards of this. So I just want you to give some to the poor and give some, you know, to the church and give some to the ministry. And yet we say, no, it's all mine. And we totally subvert ourselves or get away from the scriptures, and all kinds of financial calamity comes. Look at relationships. Right? I mean, sure enough, God says, man, don't be unequally yoked. And he makes it very clear of how we should live our lives in this way, especially regarding sexuality. And we go off and do all different kinds of stuff. We keep ourselves away from the book. And next thing you know, disaster comes. Some of you guys may know Lauren Cunningham, who's a real friend of our church. And Lauren right now, I mean, he's on a quest to get the Bible into every country, get the Bible translated into every language so that life can happen because of the book. It's so important. And yet, I mean, let's be really honest in saying that most Christians today, And even at our church, you know, I think most people in Hong Kong would consider, you know, SP to be a little more of a serious church. I really don't know what that means, but I just hear that from other people. But it's, I mean, I'm just shocked at how many people don't read the Bible on a regular basis. And this is what gives us life. And you could see that it gets lost, in this case, in generations. And then as a result, the nation of Israel just goes down and down and down. And you see Judah following after other gods. I mean, it's amazing. Can you imagine the king, or there's some ceremony to worship some idol, and then it would have been so easy for the priest to open up the scroll and say, "You should have no other god before me." And okay, done deal. You know what I mean? But the book was gone. It's totally absent in their sight. And how important for us to really to invest ourselves in the scriptures. I mean, to really read the Book of Life to us. I was really blessed this year, and my wife, she's finally listening to my messages. She's always listening to my messages. But when we talked about, you know, the scriptures this year, and so she set aside to read the whole Bible, actually quite aggressively, actually read it in 4 months. And so she spent some time with some other ladies at church to do that. So they would meet on Fridays and just to read the Bible. And I can see how she's really, really grown spiritually. Lisa was always quite mature, in my opinion, but even more so, and just the Word of God just really penetrating into her heart and into her life, and how much more we need that in our lives. Now, I'm kind of preaching to the choir, right, the guys that come up to EMP, but I know there's a lot of people listening online, and how important for us to really get ourselves into the Word, that we're not like the Israelites here, and we forget about the Word. And maybe for us, maybe it's not, we're going to not lose sight of a generation, but maybe for us, the idea is that we lose sight of it Monday through Saturday, and next thing you know, we open up on Sunday, and then we lose sight of it Monday through Saturday, and then you open it up on Sunday when you come to church. And it's not even your own reading, it's whatever reading, you know, that we're doing from the pulpit. You know, honestly, shame on you. This thing that is supposed to be life for us, and we treat it like nothing. And how important for us to really get back into the Word of the Lord. It's life. And if you want some more help, go back and read what Josiah heard, which was Deuteronomy 28, 29, and 30, the messages at Gerizim. And it should really incite us to choose life, to choose the way of the Lord. The Bible tells us, he says, his commandments are not burdensome. In other words, that the commandments that God gives us are to give us life. If you took EG with me, you'll remember that God does nothing except as an expression of love to his people. And so if he tells you don't do something, it's not to restrict you. It's actually for you to experience the fullness of what God has in mind for you. You know, for example, you know, Blackaby writes in EG, you know, about adultery. And he says, well, God says, do not commit adultery. And he says, well, let me tell you what God has in mind. God has a relationship in mind for you. God has someone in mind for you. And you're going to get married. You're going to bring the best out of each other. And through that love, that covenant of love, you're going to raise kids. And one day those kids are going to sit on your lap and say, Daddy, I love you so much. And vice versa. And so then God says, look, don't commit adultery. Now, is that to burden us, or is that to give us life? Is it to free us? Of course, it's to free us. Because as soon as adultery comes into marriage covenant, it brings distrust. It brings untold damage into people's hearts. And so many things happen in that place. And so God's commandments are not burdensome. God's commandments are really to give us life. And the moment we get away from that and we think, oh, God, I mean, that's what the world says. Oh, God, why do you have to tell me how to live my life? Well, God tells us how to live our lives because he's the author of our life. And he knows how best it ought to be lived. It's like if you buy a mobile phone, we've had plenty of smartphones now. But when you buy the phone, you read what the owner's manual, what the owner of the phone or the people who designed the phone, what they had in mind for it. You know, you don't play football with your phone. You know, you don't go outside and play soccer with your, I mean, like, not in your pocket. I'm talking about as a ball. You know, you don't go scuba diving because the manufacturer says, well, these things will harm the phone if you do these things. In that same way, God, the author of life, he wrote exactly how this life should be lived. And it's crazy how we deviate so much and wrap ourselves in the wisdom of this world, which Corinthians tells us it's folly before God. So let's close our eyes. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. I know that you're literate, but are you biblically literate? Are the only verses that you've memorized the 13 verses in GIC? I hope not. Actually, some of you guys probably even forgot those. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to separate the division of bone and marrow, soul and spirit, and to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Word of God is life to us. And think of all the things that we invest in every single day. Surely we can invest some time to get the Word of God in our hearts. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your Word. I've hidden your Word in my heart that I may not sin against thee.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Oh, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Teach my song. Teach my soul to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Let's pray. Huh? Man, if we've not been faithful with the word, isn't it great that his mercy is great for us? Just like Josiah, his generation was unfaithful. And he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord says, man, I've heard your prayer. And he extended mercy to him. Maybe we are the cause of our own calamities in some ways. And there's no one better to run at the mercy of than the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anyone that you had to throw yourself at, who better than Jesus to receive us? Well, let's pray. Again, let's pray for a commitment to God's word. Let's pray that we'd always remain humble and resting at the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray this morning. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our community that are battling through cancer, going through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illnesses, but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray that God will reveal himself to them. Let's pray for our community that's dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision during this time. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Japan. Let's pray for Pastor Sophia. Let's pray for her ministry, that God would continue to use her powerfully, especially her language learning. Let's just lift up Japan at the same time. Let's pray for SP New York. Let's pray for Pastor Chris and Amy and their ministry there, that God would continue to provide for them and they would continue to grow. Let's pray for Cambodia and Grace. And pray for Oasis House with Pastor Jenny, and that Grace would really find rest in the Lord in these next steps that she needs to take for her business as mission that she's doing. Let's lift up these cities, these countries before the Lord and our friends ministering. Let's pray for our missions council. Let's ask the Lord to just really speak to our leaders, use them to lead our church in our missional endeavors. Let's pray for our local outreach ministries, Agape, Homi, SP Lights, Freedom Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray that Holy Spirit would encourage and equip our volunteers and they go out and be a tremendous amount of anointing as they minister to people all around. Let's pray for our SP Fam ministry, the Foster Adoption Ministries. Lift up Cadence as she leads. Let's pray for the four families that have approved by Mother's Choice. And we have a new baby coming in to our family this Wednesday. Let's also pray for this Sunday, Robert Glover speaking. It should be a very inspiring message, the Director of Care for Children. And then afterwards, the Hong Kong Family Welfare Society will be sharing of how we can get involved in emergency fostering. And so let's just pray for that meeting as well. Let's lift up the gatherings going on tonight. SPU, their college ministries, IP, intercessory prayer, and Experiencing God discipleship class. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to really live within us and really that we really experience God's power tonight in all these meetings. Let's pray for house church tonight. McCain, McDaddy, McRobinson, and Tavistock. Let's pray for our leaders. They would lead well, and our house church members would really connect with God and with each other. Let's cover our Mongolia mission trip. They're coming back tomorrow. Let's pray for just the presence of God to be with them. Pray for Ricky as he leads. Let's pray that he would be used by the Lord in a powerful way, and the whole team would really make an impact in Mongolia. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. God, thank you again for the reminder, Lord, that we should not let the word depart from us, God, but we should meditate on it day and night. Lord, that we would live according to your word, God. And we can see how nations are thwarted, God, that calamity comes because they have lost the word. And so help us not only to regain it, God, but help us to live it out, Lord. Your commandments are not burdensome, Lord. Lord, that you write these things to give us life and life abundantly. And so would you help us to be faithful to your word, God. Help us as a church to be faithful to your word, Lord, where that we don't operate, God, out of the wisdom of this world, God, but we'd operate out of the wisdom of God. And so help us, Lord. God, help me, God, to deliver your truth, God, in a way that helps people to understand, God, and live it out. And so we thank you, Lord. Watch over us today. Watch over us this weekend, God. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you over this weekend.